Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. We've all heard of post-holiday letdown, but it seems to me that some pets experience post-holiday letdown too, and probably for the same reason we do. Holidays are stressful, even under the very best of circumstances. And anything that stresses us possesses the potential to stress our pets. Let's look at the holidays from the animal's point of view. First of all, there might be a lot more or different kinds of food around. People who normally kept their counters cleared may find there's food on the counter all the time. And dogs who would never think of putting their feet up on the counters or counter surfing are now thinking about it a lot for two reasons. One, because the food is there. And second, because they're stressed. And one of the side effects of stress can be increased appetite. And of course, if we're entertaining a lot and there are trays of food on coffee tables and in other unusual places in the house, not only will that attract the pets, it's almost a sure thing that guests, no matter what you tell them, are going to want to give a treat to those pets too. Oh, sure, if you tell them not to treat the dog or the cat or to ignore the animal, they might do it, but they might accidentally drop some food on the floor. It's bound to happen. So this is a stress. This is a stress for owners. This is a stress for pets. Then we have those delivery people who will toss a biscuit to those barking dogs, even though they know they're reinforcing the negative behavior. They do it because they've got a lot of work to do. They've got to deliver that package. We're too busy. Did we get everything we ordered, or is Aunt Muriel's sweater back-ordered, or, God forbid, they're out of it completely? And so we're so focused on getting that package and getting it open and seeing what's in there, we can't be thinking about the dog. And then we have the other end of the spectrum where really nothing changes over the holidays. And the fact that nothing is different, that there is no company, there is no special food, can make it every bit as stressful as having all that. It's the stress of a void versus the stress of too much. And this is the time that we really need our animals. And so when the dog commands us with a nudge or a look or a lean or a paw or a lick to stop what we're doing and pet her, or if the dog goes and stands by the door and gives us any one of a number of canine commands, you, come over here, open the door and let me out. We do it because we need that. We need the comfort that we get from reacting to the dog. It makes us feel secure. It makes us feel loved. Regardless what kind of holiday we have, once the holidays are over, reality comes back. Normal schedules are resumed, whatever they may be. And then suddenly, for the dog who went into the holidays with some basic behavioral problems, they seem worse. And now we can add that let down. If we're more naive, we might say to ourselves, how could the dog do this to me? I mean, we had a wonderful time. We had all that company, all those kids, and she loves to play with kids, and she had such a great time, and she got all of those treats and all of those gifts. How could she be doing this now? How could she be counter surfing? How could she be stealing food? How could she be grabbing my clothes? How could she be barking more aggressively than ever? And we feel let down. We feel that the dog let us down. Or maybe we know. Maybe before the holidays we started treating these behavioral problems and we understood our role in it and how every time we reacted to those attention-seeking behaviors, we made them worse. And we understood the connection between stress and appetite. And we knew having the dog around when we had all those hors d'oeuvres on the coffee table and all that food on the counter, that this wasn't a good thing to do. But everyone so wanted to see the dog because they so love her. And we wanted her there too, to comfort us during this stressful time. And in that case, we feel like we let the dog down. We let the cat down, and now we can add that let down to the rest of the post-holiday let down. So what should you do if you feel this way? This is a place where I think it would be useful if we humans had an erase button in our mind. Relative to the regrets, relative to the things we did wrong, relative to the negative emotions that we attach to the visitors and what they did and what they didn't do, relative to our own shortcomings during this period, erase it. Just forget about it. If the dog's behavior has regressed, deal with it. Focus on that. If there are things that you can prevent in the future, make a note of these. They might be things like having the dog or the cat off in a secure, quiet, and relaxing place before the company arrives. Or they might even be just to remember that holidays are stressful for the animals too. And if it happens, don't beat yourself up over it. Don't feel guilty. Just get back on track in the new year.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.